Brethren, on this day, this very day, April 11th, in 1976, a fellow named Steve the Woz Wozniak released the Apple I computer. Steve single-handedly developed the 1976 Apple I, which this was the computer that launched Apple throughout the world. That was the beginning of what Apple is. Not bad for a guy that was expelled from the University of Colorado at Boulder, for none less for hacking into the institution's computer systems. That was a great world event in human history of that time. Now, back up a few centuries. If we were followers of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem at the time of his crucifixion, and then we're told that he had been resurrected, what would be the topic of our conversation for the rest of that spring festival? What would be in your thoughts? Undoubtedly, we would be thinking about the greatest event to have taken place in the history of humanity. Just put ourselves in that place, what the people were thinking when everything Jesus said was going to happen happened. The very statement of the angel in Matthew 28, verse 6-7, you don't have to turn there, but the statement is, he is risen, the angel. Just imagine if they had Twitter back then. Right there from the site. Or Facebook. My sermon of today is about the greatest event in human history. Some might say that the Exodus from Egypt, which also took place immediately after the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread that was found in Numbers 33:3, chapter 33 and 3, was the greatest event to have ever happened during the Spring Festival. That's one of them. These days of unleavened bread marked a turning point the way the Spring Festival was to be celebrated down through the ages. It wasn't just an Old Testament thing. It wasn't taken away. It wasn't done away with. Yes, we should still recall the Exodus, the coming out of Egypt, as a type of redemption from sin and release from the bondage of Satan. There would still be an emphasis on eating unleavened bread, of course, as a physical reminder. We got that. We also know that we are to become spiritually unleavened by removing sins from our lives. We got that too. But at the very center of it all, at the very core of the meaning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, is the all-encompassing truth that the resurrected Jesus Christ, the one who was raised during his spring festival, now lives his life through his Spirit in each one of us. That's pretty dramatic, brethren. Jesus repeatedly emphasized the importance of his resurrection during the last supper he had with his disciples. He told his disciples he would soon be betrayed, but he also told them that he would live again. Let's go to John 14, verse 19. And during these times, we always go to John. He has a good account of what happened back then. John chapter 14, we went through that, skimmed through that area last on Passover. Verse 19. And he told them, he told his disciples this. He said, a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. The double, he was, it's not what it appears, but he had a double meaning on that. He stated that both the Father and he would live in the hearts and minds of those who loved him and followed him. Pretty powerful stuff. Let's go to John. John 14 again. And just skip over to, go to verse 20. And let's go, I'm gonna, for emphasis here, brother, we're going to go to from 20 to 26. John 14. Yeah, it would help if I'd be in John. It says, on that day you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me. So he's telling us something here, brother. And I am in you. Verse 21. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show him to myself to him. Then Judas, not Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to do so, show yourself to us and not to show not the world? And 23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. And 26. But the Counselor, okay, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have told you. So, that is one of the main reasons we have our holy days, as a remembrance, brethren, so we know what our purpose is. We have a purpose. Part of God's instructions for the days of unleavened bread is to put leavened bread products out of our home. That's found in Exodus 12, verses 15 through 16. We know that. Here's something that the Apostle Paul said about the day, these days also. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Corinthians. Now I go to Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 8. And he says, here he encouraged the most gentle church there to keep the feast. Okay? Therefore, let us keep the feast. Not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. What is sincerity? It's a quality of being free from pretense, deceit, or hypocrisy. So it goes in with what Jesus was saying to his apostles when the little children came up to him. He said, if our minds are not like the little children, without free... free from pretense or hypocrisy. Little children are pretty straightforward. And the truth, well, Jesus, like Jesus' truth, the fact. This is a clear reference to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, what Paul was saying. A clear reference that the feast has not been done away with. It hasn't been pushed aside. It hasn't been forgotten. Paul recognized that the unleavened bread of this feast is symbolic of sincerity and truth, which should be hallmarks of the life of every Christian. He also understood that leaven during this time symbolized sin. In the feast pictures, our need to make every effort to eliminate it completely from our lives. not just on the days of unleavened bread. We should remove sin, be actively working on removing sin from our lives. Because, why? Because we have Jesus Christ and our Father in us. That's why. We just read a scripture on that. The truly great story about the days of unleavened bread is the story of the resurrected Christ living his life in those of us who have truly repented of living in sin and have received the Holy Spirit. This empowers us to overcome sins in a way that previously was simply not possible. That, brethren, is way more important and life-changing than the apple one. Yes, the Feast of Unleavened Bread is a festival that helps us to focus on replacing sin with righteousness. But the only real way to put sin out of our lives is to put Christ into our lives. Just like Jesus told his apostles that he was within them. Yes, Paul reminded Christians to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's found in Philippians 2, verse 12. Yes, he was in no way preaching a works-based salvation. The meaning of the days of unleavened bread is the belief that is central to our overcoming sin in the realization that the resurrected Christ lives his life in each one of us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians again, brethren. 15, verse 17. 15, verse 17. This is Paul again. He says, if Christ is not risen, Paul is making reference, your faith is futile. He's saying if Christ wouldn't have died for us, or on top of that, if he would not have risen, if they would have just murdered him, all of our faith, everything that we've done, was for naught. And in the last part, he says, you are still in your sins. So we would still be in our sins, and we would have died like my poor rooster Gabe. It is the resurrection of Christ and his living again in Christians to empower them to remove the leaven of sin from their lives. That gives these days of unleavened bread such a deep and lasting meaning. Brethren, continue to look deeply into the meaning of these days of unleavened bread and what they teach us about the life and mission of Jesus Christ.